In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hello and welcome to the Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
I'm Jared Freed. It is so good to be back here with you, Kay, on a very special episode of The Bachelor. We are covering Love is Blind this season. We have watched the whole season. This episode will cover episodes 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very evergreen. We want you to go, if you're listening now, you have watched or you are using this as maybe your guide through the episode. And Kay, we said just briefly before we started, it's a little, if you're here because you watched The Bachelor with us, welcome back. And if you're here because you're new and you wanted a new Love is Blind podcast, welcome to the, the Kay and Jared show, so to speak, that is nominally called The Bachelor, but we're going to talk Love is Blind.
Yeah, I'm really excited because I've been watching this show from the beginning. And man, that was so long ago. I remember when it came out. I think it came out in, 2020, maybe the first show, like right at the very beginning. But we found out that they had been married for like 2 years or something. They had already filmed for like forever ago.
Yeah, it had as Netflix things do, I guess, reality show wise. It was the first time, I think, that we had gotten a Netflix reality show. So, like, the way it came to us, the packaging was so different. It's dumped at you all at once. Usually, the dating shows were kind of, like, starting in the beginning and maybe they're in the middle or, it's week by week, so it's a slow drip. So, you're not really sure who you can look up, what couples to look up. So this was, I watched season one and Jordana and I on You Up did a recap of season one. And then after that, it's hard because Netflix sometimes becomes a homework assignment because it's all there. It's not, and there will be, in the beginning at least of this podcast, lots of comparisons to The Bachelor. Because we are just, we're two Bachelor fans, so it's hard not to compare. This is called The Bachelor, so it's,
so that's what it is. I mean, I'm excited because it is it's such a different type of show. And if you don't know what Love is Blind is, essentially they are taking, a bunch of men and a bunch of women, keeping them separate from the other, and they're going on dates all day, but these dates are completely unseen. It's voice only, and you're only allowed to see the other person after you have proposed and they have said yes. And I think you only have 10 days in the pod. I think it's like 10 days in the pods, which is what they call them, and you have to propose within 10 days. That's crazy.
There's a lot of unsaid things. There's a lot of they never really tell us how many people are there. They never really tell, and maybe this information is out there, but it's not readily available. It's not like they're like, they don't start the show by being like 20 men, 20 women, pods. No. It's very aesthetically pleasing. The music is very updated. Comparatively to The Bachelor, this is feels more real. They do a great job of making you feel like you are a part of an experiment. What happens when people get to know each other without looks? Even though everyone on this show, we promise, will be pretty good looking. Like, there's not one person on the show. Put your tastes aside, but there's no one on the show that you'd be like, ugh! Like, everyone's good looking. Everyone's like...
Everyone has characteristics that are appealing. For sure.
Right. But I will say they're not like Bachelor contestants. Contestants, it does feel a little bit more pageant. I would say this feels a little bit more nice bar in New York City on a Saturday night with a high-end clientele, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
So
I agree.
You're going to get, and And the pods are made up. And I would say, for the people who have never watched the show, this show, the blind date, the love is blind aspect of it, is very much the hook for a show that I believe is very different, is entertaining for a different reason. Mm-hmm. Like, the pod stuff, and we're in episode 1 and 2, it's very hard to keep track of. It's very hard to, like, fall in love with certain characters. It's easy to hate characters just because it's easy to hate people. But it's a little bit of a mess. What did you think of the first two? And so in the first two episodes, all we're getting is
pods.
Blind dates, and we're kind of doing musical chairs, and our hosts are Nick and Vanessa Lachey, and who do very little except tell us that it make us believe that we're part of some grand experiment.
Oh yeah, they're very good at hyping this show up into something more than what it is. And I think it's funny because the way all of the characters or contestants or daters, I don't know,
right,
whatever these people,
whatever they are,
what they always refer to it as, they never say it's a show. They just say we're right. part of an experiment, a social experiment. And I'm like, it feels like you guys were like in a lab and
right.
were like hooked up to a bunch of machines and had to date each other.
That's the thing that is both annoying and also like amazing about it is you do forget this is not better. These are not better people for having gone on this show.
No.
They have convinced themselves that they are better people than people who go on normal reality shows. And they basically make it sound like a genius, you know, mathematician was like, come into my lab and be a part of something that none of these idiots will ever be a part of because you're better than looks. You're better. And it's like, no, people have gotten social media followings from this. People have gotten become influencers.
Huge
following. This show, maybe season one where you wander in, oh, I'll do a reality show. We're on season 4 now. Like, that is something that I kept forgetting in episodes 1 and 2 is like, yeah, there are monsters on this show too.
Mm-hmm.
There is a social media aspect at play here. There is something to be gained from getting engaged. And the same, you know, more so than The Bachelor.
I agree.
And on this show, It on The Bachelor, I think it starts more fun and it kind of ends in a little bit of too serious town. I think this show goes the opposite way. This show starts too serious for me. I'm just always like, I don't know these people enough to know their trauma, whatever. But then I think it gets more fun because you're like, oh, I'm going to see what happens after the final row. This is literally after the final row when this show becomes more interesting.
Okay, I have a question. Would you do this? Is this a show that you would be a part of?
Absolutely not.
Same.
I would be I'm more likely to go on The Bachelor than this show because there's no. You immediately. I mean, like what? Like you have to ask questions. You know, like you could see the way people ask questions, like. I don't know. Would you? You wouldn't either, you said, right?
No. There's something about, I do understand, like, the aspect of getting to know someone and talking to them. Like, we've all had some sort of, like, correspondence with someone where it's like, wow, this is a really good, like, talking connection. But then you're in person and it's way off.
Right.
I was watching some of your TikToks the other night from your shows about, like, icks. And,
yeah.
And just body language in general, seeing how people ask, like not being able to see their body language is a whole different aspect. And
right.
I think that's what really comes into play afterwards. Cause you could be like, man, I love like hearing this person talk and what they're saying and what they're doing. But the second you see them in person, it might not, I don't know. I would have a poor reaction. I already know.
Right.
And then I would be the villain because I'm like, no, you know?
So, yeah, I just, you know, to me, I mean, the show opens with one of the people saying, I'm sick of swiping right. I'm old fashioned.
Yeah.
And it's like a line like that is them trying to convince us. They're trying to say to, you know, Joe viewer, Jane viewer, aren't you sick of swiping? Mm-hmm. Wouldn't you? And it's like that to me is convenient because you're swiping all day long. Like you are swiping whether you like it or not when you're walking down the street, right swipe, left swipe. When you go into a bar, you look at someone right away and you make a decision, a flash decision. And
yeah.
You know, and it's a little bit easier to not have to admit to because it's not on the screen and you're not actually doing it. But like the and just like you're saying, like that comes down to body language. That comes down to like how you approach me. I was at a bar last night. I'm at the corner of the bar and these three young women are next to me. And these two guys come up to them and I'm just having a drink on my phone, you know, with my significant other, my cell phone. And
yeah, my number one.
my go-to bitch. And these two guys, and I'm watching as I do. These two guys come up with holding a red wine. They're holding a red wine, like from underneath the glass, and they're in button-down white shirts. They're very much. I'm out of work.
You know, I can see it. I literally see you're painting the picture.
Right, and they're like, "What's happening, ladies?" And the three women. They're drinking tap beer. And I'm just like, walk away, young boys.
Yeah.
It ain't going to happen. And the women never turn their back to them or never turn their shoulders to them. The guys keep pushing, keep trying. And it's like, you know, there is this like you approach with red wine. Like, you thought this was like going to happen. You thought there was a commonality here. Like it. And it's just so small. And then they leave and I'm still next to these women. One of them talks to me. They're like, what are you looking at? And I'm like, Instagram. And I was like,
what else?
I was like, yeah, what else is there to fucking look like? And she's like, well, what's going on? I was like, I was just listening to you and the Red Wine Boys. And they were like, oh, my God. And you were like, and so much of that was approach. So much of that. And it's like, I think where, you know, these people on this show want to make it like we are a part of a grand plan. The Wizard of Oz has chosen us to choose our partners in a way that none of you idiots, you people who are care about looks, we don't. It's like, no, a lot of what we see in episode 1 and 2 is actually manipulative.
Yeah.
Like, there is so much depthy talk, and you can see... What the biggest takeaway from this show to me was there was people on here who have their own dating issues and it has nothing to do with the swiping apps. Mm-hmm. And the people who on here who claim to be these like high and mighty whatever, it's not about the apps. It's not about the pods. It's about them. They have that will not be solved by the pods.
And it's interesting listening to them, you know, when they first go into the pods. You're sort of meeting all these people quickly and all of them are like pretty, they're all in their 30s. I think there's one guy who's like 26 or something, but most of these people are in their 30s and
sophisticated bar on a Saturday night. It's very young professional, but like not too young. Yeah. I like that.
I do too. And it makes this more realistic because if they were all in their 20s and they're like, you know what, I've tried everything, I have to just do it this way, I feel like
no, you haven't.
You know, you haven't. And so, you know, they're going through these things and hearing them talk out loud is sort of hearing them talk like they're filling out their dating profiles. Like Chelsea, one of the girls who's on here, she's like, yeah, I brought 21 pairs of shoes with me. Like makes me, you know, one of my favorite things in life is like giving people joy. And like, it feels very scripted and not actually scripted, but they thought about these questions before they came in here.
It's a problem that a lot of us have on dating apps. You're so attached to the brand that you've written for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You're like Chelsea, the shoes thing. I noticed that you had Paul, I'm the scientist, so I look at things from an analytical point of view. You have, you have Micah, who's like worried about being considered, you know, I just get seen as the blonde. You know, it's nice that I don't have to be seen that way anymore.
Kwame was like, I was going to come here and use the name Alex because I didn't want people to, assume something right off the bat, which is also very interesting because you see all these clips of everybody meeting and there's this one guy. I mean, I don't think we even see him again, but he was asking people, was like, okay, so are you Asian? Are you, just tell me what you, like, you know, asking all these weird questions. It's like the whole point of this is to get to know them and not ask what they look like, but you can't help but go in there and hear someone's voice or hear their someone's name and just assume.
Right. I mean, these are all things that would run, you know, I appreciated Kwame saying that because you go, these are things like, these are uncomfortable thoughts. You're like, well, this name, well, where are you from? Where did you grow up? Well, what's, it's like almost like coded questions too.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you go like if I was like, did you go to summer camp? You know, like I'm like asking
are you
a Jewish? Very specific,
yeah,
it's like, right. Yeah. I'm asking a very specific question, you know, like, and I think that part of it is interesting. And it's funny because like, you know, when you go pitch a show, what's the big idea? Well, the big idea is that we're going to put them all in a warehouse and they're not going to be able to see each other. And then they got to get engaged at the end of that. And you go, wow, that's pretty cool. And then you go do the show and then you go, okay, and then what's the next 5 episodes? And they're like, well, then after that, we're going to see them go on their honeymoon together with the people they just talked to. And you're like, oh, that's interesting. Like,
that's interesting.
To me,
I love that.
And then they're going to live together as a couple. And you go, oh, so I'm going to watch a couple who met without seeing each other do their first 3 to 6 months of being a couple. And you're like, yeah. So like, that's where this episode, where I think it's hard to even get into what happened, because on The Bachelor, we're given the gift of, you know, limos, contestant 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 through 30. We get The Bachelor, who's The Bachelor. And we get these people have been eliminated. These people stay in. So it's easy to like go through it.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights out on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. And for a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with this exclusive link, honeylove.com/bachelor. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/bachelor. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It is targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. It is amazing. I've been wearing it for years now. It fits me so well, and I'm not kidding you. When they say it doesn't roll down, it does not roll down, and it hugs you in all the right places. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/bachelor. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/bachelor. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but you can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. So free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. And for just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. and always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value of $98 a month for any six styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up using the code BACHELOR20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code BACHELOR20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's, with the code BACHELOR20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes.
This episode, I mean, who stood out to you? So I think like it would be good to go over the couples that we got introduced to.
Yeah, so I think right off the bat, a first connection that I saw was Kwame and Micah. I mean, Kwame was like, Micah's amazing. And then Micah also said the same thing. She was like, I think Kwame is my number one. It's really, they're a solid match. I think this guy named Brett is the prize.
Brett is the prize. Right. And here, this goes back to, will the pod solve your problems? Mm. And no. Like, Brett.
No.
Answer
actually.
No. Brett seems to have great job. Gets himself. He has like this backstory that's pretty incredible about being a designer and putting his stuff on Instagram and then getting to work at, I think he works at Nike as like a director and like,
yeah, a shoe designer. And, yeah, he's good.
Right. And he's like, and you do see a guy and it shows on camera who's pretty assured of like what he's got going on and what he's looking for.
Yeah.
And that became, and then when him and Tiffany hit it off, I did have this feeling. I'm like, oh, I get, and Tiffany, who is the oldest in the house, she's 36, not old, but the oldest in this game. And then Tiffany's also like doing well in her job, seems to be pretty self-assured. Like, I mean, we end the first episode. I mean, we'll start with Brett and Tiffany. We end the first episode with them being like, this is it for me. And then Tiffany falling asleep while they're talking with each other. What did you think of that?
When Tiffany fell asleep, I thought I was going to lose my mind.
Right.
I mean, she's sitting.
And it was right after he goes, I mean, what makes it hard to like, you know, laugh at is like, he's basically like, yeah, my brother, he tells a story that I'm literally tearing up. Like,
oh,
he's
yeah.
He's like, my brother passed away in a car accident. It's very
the
jarring.
The week before his wedding.
Right. And this is where I'm not sure of the editing, but like, then they show Tiffany like, wee, 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 wee. And he's like, hello? And it's like, I was like, there was a moment there where I was like, does
production
is Brett gonna
step
think
in?
She die? Yeah. Right. Like, if I'm Brett, I'm like, is everyone dying? Like, I was like, I felt for him. Like, someone's got to tell him she fell asleep at least.
I know. And so the thing is that she was like, I'm falling in love with you. You did the I'm falling in love with you thing. And
right.
It seemed like he wasn't going to say it back. And he goes into this story. It also seemed like she was drunk. I think
that's
she
what
was,
I thought. They had a bottle in front of her.
They had a bottle in front of her. I think she was just kind of boozed. And you know, I get tired when I drink. And
sure.
She says all the I'm falling in love with you. He tells her this story because it seems like he's not going to say it back. And then at the end, he goes, I think you're my perfect match. I think you're the perfect person for me. And she's fully passed out. And he calls her name. He's like, hello. And I'm like, I cannot believe no one is waking her up or like telling him, because he goes back into the guy's room. He's like, you know what? And then he said, he was like, I'm done. He goes, forget this. Like, she just left. And I'm like, no, she didn't leave.
Right. And it was funny to me. I mean, we'll stick with the Brett and Tiffany storyline and we'll move kind of through the couples at this point. But it was funny to me that like, that he goes back to the house and I'm like, he has a good point. If the timeline is as we saw it, I love you, my brother passed away. wee, 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 wee. You go, okay, she didn't really take your story seriously. Like, I could understand why he's like upset by that. Like, I opened up to you.
Yeah.
We're here to date. We're here to see if we're going to get engaged. There's real stakes. And you fall asleep on me? What the fuck? How can I believe you?
Uh-huh.
You know? And it was funny to me, and this is the interesting part about these two episodes, is what came after that. Because he kind of, like, forgives and forgets. And I thought it was funny that all the people come in to wake up Tiffany, and then they go back and she tells the story, and they're all like, but he said he loved you, right? So you're good. And, like, there's no, like, I was thinking if the roles were reversed, if a guy fell asleep on a woman and they, and she came back to the pods and was like, I told him I loved him, and then he fell asleep, or he just didn't answer.
Yeah.
They'd be like, that fucking piece of shit.
Oh, yeah, it'd be done. Over.
How could he let you do this? How could he fall asleep on you? How could he be this? How could he be that? How could he? And you're like, this guy, like, and this is kind of the theme of the second episode, is there's a lot of differentiation between what goes on in the male side of the warehouse and what goes on the female side of the warehouse. And you know, to get back to Tiffany and Brett, they end up getting engaged. They end up seeing each other. There's forgiving. You know, they have a, and they do seem like a very strong couple from my perspective. I don't know how you feel.
Oh, yeah. I mean, just, I knew the second he proposed and she said yes, I was like, they're going to be so happy with this outcome. She's beautiful. He's gorgeous. They seem to connect really well. And I think part of, a big part of this show from watching past seasons in general and how things kind of pan out is that go with your first instinct, like your gut instinct, because especially once you get out of the pods and have to, we're forced to see the other people and be around them and see them with other, see them with their significant other now. Mm-hmm. It makes it really hard. So it's like, just lean into your first gut instinct, because I think if people from this, you know, this first episode would do that, I think it would have been better. Like, I don't know. I think that's a big, big thing.
It's a big thing. I totally agree. And the, you know, so I, and I, you know, that's there. It's a lot of foreshadowing.
Yes.
Because, and with these, with Brett and Tiffany, you go, there's nothing to foreshadow other than, will they make it? Will this experiment have worked for them? Quote unquote.
Yeah. Another couple that stood out to me is there was, you know, Kwame and Micah really had this connection up at the front, like at the top. And then another guy, Paul, swoops in, and kind of him and Micah are having a big connection. And then it's like, I don't know, I would have such a hard time navigating these things. And you see them like taking notes in their journals, like to keep up with like who said what, who I told what to, what their jobs are, what their careers are. And then, but then you, Micah and Paul end up getting engaged, and she has to like break off her relationship with Kwame, which was really awkward and felt sort of like ending an interview, like, hey, this isn't gonna work out, like, and he's like, okay, thanks for your time, best of luck in the future.
Well, this is this goes into like a couple of the, you know, the male versus female things, because you know, so to get to organize this a bit, there's Kwame and Micah. If we go through the couples,
yeah,
we have Kwame and Micah, we have Micah and Paul, we have Paul and Amber. Okay?
Yeah.
So Paul and Micah get together. Paul then has to break up with Amber, and Micah then has to break up with Kwame.
Mm-hmm.
Correct?
Yes.
So this is kind of the center of the mess that we will have to deal with on this episode. Beyond that, there's another woman, Jacquelina, and she's dealing with Josh and Marshall, and that's kind of a side thing. And Jacquelina, this all gets very confusing. And this is kind of the problem with kind of breaking down two episodes and figuring this out until we get kind of like, you know, until the Legends of the Hidden Temple teams are split up.
Yeah, until you get the
through Olmec's, you know, whatever. So basically Micah and Paul are like, we're together. Now each go to your separate people and break up. Micah goes to Kwame, mm-hmm. and Kwame, as you said, his reaction is very, I thought it was classy. What's he going to say?
No, yeah. I mean, it was classy, but it's like he was getting ready to propose to her in that like moment.
Right.
And his reaction afterwards, I mean, this man was sobbing in that right. room, sobbing. Completely wrecked.
It did show you kind of how a lot of men process, a lot of men where it's like, listen, you hear about the guys who go and like, fuck you, and it becomes dangerous.
Yeah.
A lot of times you'll go, the report is, it looked like he didn't even care. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Kwame, you know, what's he going to say? He's not going to convince someone to love him when he's behind, you know, like in general, who wants to be with someone they have to convince to love them after they've had this full on relationship going on?
Yeah, I hear you. That's
and he goes, and I actually wrote down when he got broken up with, I said, Kwame all class. And then off camera, he lets people know. He goes, this was fucked up. I feel bad. You can see he immediately starts taking shots of alcohol. He starts and he's back in the other side in the male center, you know, the male section of things. And you can tell, like, it's just not, you know, he's really upset. And you go, but then they go to the other side, and Micah goes to all the women. And she's like, he didn't even, you know, like, she kind of paints him as this, like, oh, I guess.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Didn't care. He didn't. And it's like, you know, it did feel like she was like, if he had fought, maybe, you know, and it's like, fought for what?
For what?
You said no.
Yeah, like. And she went in there, and one of the things she was complaining about, she was like, why is Paul taking so long to break up with Amber? This took me 2 seconds. Like, I walked in there. I was like, this isn't going to work. I think we should explore other couples. Like, boom, boom, dust her hands is done. But the Amber and Paul breakup lasted longer, and that really affected Micah.
And you get to that and you go, okay, again, the pods will not fix your problems. Like, mm-hmm. at that point, I'm watching Micah and I'm like, oh, this person's got to be a monster, you know? And you go, there's something off here. And she's like, got her minion. Irina seems to be a minion of hers who like goes and listens in on how people feel after the breakup. You know, Amber gets dumped by Paul. That was a little, you know, Amber does the lashing out, fuck you, Paul. She does the opposite of Kwame. We mm-hmm. see the yin and the yang of people who get
Amber
dumped.
Has some trauma, though. Amber's been married twice already.
Twice. Mm-hmm.
Which, so her reaction is like, not that, I'm not saying it's not valid. I'm just saying it's like.
No, but it was.
She.
What's the right.
Doesn't
want to
get.
What's the right reaction?
I don't know.
Like, I'm more a Kwame. Are you more a Kwame or an Amber when it comes to getting broke?
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to show. I'm fine. I'm a Kwame.
Totally
like,
fine.
I'll be fine. And then I'm going to weep and my eyes out. Yeah, I'm going to cry my eyes out afterwards. But I'm definitely that. I might throw in a little bit of an Amber. A little. But not to like enough to compromise my.
I am such a Kwame. I am such a wish you the best. Make sure you get a water on your way out.
No.
Good luck with everything. Have fun. You know, like I.
If a position opens in the future, I'll let you know.
Right. Please be in touch if things change. You know, I am Kwame to the millionth degree. And it's like, you know, it hurts, you know, but
hurts.
It's like I'm not going to like beg someone to like take me in, and I will after the fact, like Kwame did, do the, you know, you do the post game. Where did I go wrong? What did I, should I have done differently? All mm-hmm. that stuff that everyone does, you know?
Yeah.
of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/credit card.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
So we have that breakup, and then we have Micah and Paul commit to one another, and
they get to see each other too at the end of this episode. They, Micah and Paul, get to have their meeting.
That's kind of the cliffhanger
that
of
is
episode
the cliffhanger,
two,
yeah.
So where it's Micah looking at Paul and Paul looking at Micah, and from everything we've learned about Micah and Paul, we're like wondering if they're the types to like. Look at one another and be like, not my type. I think that's kind of the cliffhanger there.
Yeah, it is.
Which I didn't really, which isn't something I was concerned about.
Another relationship that I kind of want to dive into is Irina and Zach.
So what did you think of Zach over this whole process?
These first two episodes with Zach was really interesting to me because he came into the pods and... He was like not lying. That's the wrong word.
I guess lying.
Yeah. About what he does. He goes like, yeah, I'm a stripper. I'm a this, I'm a that. And I think he was trying to like test them or make some sort of joke. I didn't like it either. It's like, I'm already not knowing anything about your looks or your body. Like you need to give me something like this is, I have to know. The
he
real
you. He was establishing a power position. He's a manipulator. He was. I thought Zach was completely awful when he says I'm a stripper, and then he's like, "No, just kidding. I'm a lawyer." He is telling you exactly how he sees people on the food chain of life. Like he's telling you, he knows. This is how he dates. He knows lawyer is. That's my badge. That gets me woman. Mm-hmm. I make a certain amount of money. I am seen as a certain amount of smartness. I am seen as this. And he's going, let's see who gets turned off by stripper, because then I get to judge them. Because guess what? My mom was a stripper.
Yeah.
How could you be such a dick? And it's like, no, you're a piece of shit, dude. Like, just like you said, Kay, everyone's here not knowing something. Like, we're all a part of this game. I don't need another puppeteer who's one of the puppets.
Yeah, you're definitely right about the like. It was a test. It was. Are you gonna talk shit about people being a stripper? Because my mom was one. That's fucked up.
Right. It's fucked up, and it shows you that this guy needs therapy. Like the pods is not his problem. People seeing his face, and him and Paul similarly do a lot of like. We should a lot of like talking towards the future with people that they're like not making promises to, but in their examples of the future are kind of making promises to. They do a lot of manipulative shit. But Zach, especially with that stripper thing. And it's like when you were saying like there was that guy that was like, are you Asian to people? Like that is a despicable thing. Zach did it the same to me. Zach was doing the same despicable thing. In a more edible way because he does it with this whole stripper thing.
I agree. And it really, and it's interesting. The two women he sort of pulls in, it was Irina and
Bliss.
That's what it was. Irina and Bliss, two like cool women. Irina, something about Irina is weird because like you were talking about earlier, she's definitely the girl who's going in, finding out all the gossip, sort of like being kind of catty, she's also one of the younger girls there.
Yeah, Arena, at first, she snuck up on me as being, like, kind of an asshole.
Yeah, but there's something about her that's giving me, like, catty girl vibes. And so Zach's birthday happened in the second episode. And
so this is a very, like, important, you know, if we're going to talk about Zach in the context of, like, who he's going to choose or whatever.
Yeah.
And Irina, yeah, so it's his birthday.
And Bliss, the other girl that Zach is talking to, decides to make him, like, cupcakes, like, do a really nice gesture for his birthday.
This is something that I think has evolved over time on this show, because I don't remember I don't remember season one that you could send gifts like it was the Hunger Games.
Yes,
to another pod. Like, I don't remember this version of the show where you could be baking in one pod, hand it to a producer, they would hand it to them in another pod. But I guess this is allowed. Like, you can, over the course of time, you can buy things for the other person. You can set up there. You know, you could even see Paul had, like, a whole New Orleans theme because he was dating Amber, who's from New Orleans, and they seem to be having mm-hmm. a New Orleans date. It does seem that there are, like, ways
to... Oh, there's, like, activities. There was, like, a beer pong table set up on right. either side of, like, the right. the wall. It was weird. But, so, this is a big red flag to me with Irina, is that when Amber was making this these cupcakes, Irina goes up to Amber and she was like, hey, not to be weird, they both know they're competing for the same guy. Irina's like, can I have one of your candles? Just one. Knowing right. that it's like, what?
What? And also, I thought of Zach. I thought of his birthday. I wanted to do something special for him because I am falling for him. This is how I show my affection for someone, by making them cupcakes. And then Irina even said, she's like, I forgot it was his birthday.
Oops.
Right. I guess I'll go to the person. And it did feel like it was kind of like calling time out to rattle the kicker. It was kind of like this, like it. And what you see on the female side of the pods is like the discussion of who's seeing who and who likes who is way. It is like. There seems to be this, like, it's like mental warfare going on.
Yeah, absolutely. It is definitely, because they're all in the same, they're like, I'm going to stay over here because I don't want to be around her right now. I don't, like, and it also is kind of embarrassing, like, coming back after one of the guys breaks up with you, knowing that he broke up with you for another person who right. was in that room with you. That's tough.
So the last kind of couple to go over is Jacquelina, Josh, and Marshall.
Right.
And so Jacquelina, who pops off the screen, mm-hmm. like, she's this, like, hot, big, you know, her hair is big and curly, and she's got this, like, I mean, I even wrote down, she's a keep it real girl. Keep it real.
Big personality, big, like,
right.
she's funny. She has, like, charisma. I really right. liked her. She was, like, a breath of fresh air. With yes. all the seriousness
yes.
of all the other couples. She was like, yeah, I'm like, here, I'm going to meet a guy and we're going to, like, it seems right. fun. So I really liked her this episode.
So I liked her too, but you could understand, especially a guy like, so then we meet Josh and Marshall. Mm-hmm. Marshall, we meet more than Josh. We meet Marshall yeah. and he says, I can be sensitive right away and it's accepted. So he's happy that he's allowed to be sensitive in these pods. And you could kind of tell that, like, Jacquelina, you could tell, like, Marshall's the type of guy who would fall hard for her.
Oh, like, yeah.
And, you know, it did feel like this guy who was, like, a little bit batting out of his ballpark, and he's, like, getting this response from someone who's, like, this big personality. Then he's kind of, like, getting her to be sensitive. And she even says, you're making, you know, you could tell. People who say, I keep it real, that's someone with a wall up, you know. So mm-hmm. she's literally, like, wow, you're, like, getting me to open up. And then he opens up so much. And he's, like, basically proposing. And she's, like, I feel bad about the other guy that I'm talking to.
Yeah, that kind of, that crushes him because they also bonded over like family stuff. Like she has a hard life at home with her family, and then he also struggles with like being vulnerable with his family. So they really bonded over that. And so when he heard that she was had a serious connection with someone else, that he was pissed.
Well, and it was also like kind of good editing because it's like we had only heard from them two. Mm-hmm. And then like Mystery Man shows up, like we're like, because I was like, oh, they're a couple, like great, like they seem a little bit mismatched, they seem like she's like maybe like owns the room too much for him, and then they get to like, and then she's like, I have another guy, and I was like, well, who's the other guy? And then we get introduced to Josh, who's like very much like the antithesis to Marshall.
Yes,
like in a way, like it's like this is like, you know, this becomes like a metaphor for nice guys finish last. Like Marshall seems like this nice, sensitive guy who's told don't be sensitive. His dad yelled at him growing up for not knowing math. Like he's got this whole story. And then he goes, and then he's like, finally, a woman's responding to this. And she's like, there's this other hot guy I'm kind of like still got a thing for. And you could see that like even she's battling with like
telling him,
but like it does. She's like, well, this other guy is going to leave. He says, I'm the only one. Mm. And then that's where we come into this very male version of the arguments that happen on the male side of things. Like, because it's Marshall's opinion that this is manipulation, that this guy is basically saying, you're the one or I pack up, and he's not going to pack up.
Yeah. He's not. It was and then but he also had that reaction of like, who's lying to me? He's literally sitting at like the kitchen island, and he's like looking around, he's like, who's the asshole that's been looking me in the eyes, listening to me vent and talk about this woman, and they're also pursuing her.
Right. And it's like, to me, I don't think Josh is wrong for not saying anything. If I was in the house and I'm like, and I hear this guy like, oh, she's the perfect woman. I love her. It's, oh my God. And I'm like, she's got a decision in this. I have my own connection with her. I don't really need to say anything to this guy. Like, and I was with Marshall where I was like, I don't believe that this guy's actually going to leave the house. I think that's something like good to say, but he's allowed to say that if that's the only person he's matching with.
And it also could be like a manipulation tactic.
It could be either way. You don't know. Like, and maybe he is ready to pack his shit. I don't know. You know, we don't know enough about this guy. And then we go to Josh and they interview him, and he's like, he's got the big turtleneck on. Like, he seems like more of a tough guy. He seems like,
you're right. They're the exact opposite type of guy.
Right. It was very interesting. And that's kind of where we leave it with episode two, right?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is supported by FX's Clipped, the scandalous story of the 2014 Clippers owner's racist remarks captured on tape and heard around the world. The series charts the tape's impact on a dysfunctional basketball organization striving to win against their reputation as the most cursed team in the league. Starring Lawrence Fishburne, Jackie Weaver, Cleopatra Coleman, and Ed O'Neill. FX's Clipped, streaming June 4th, only on Hulu.
So let's move on to predictions. Do you have, we've watched two episodes. What are your predictions?
I predict that, so we had two proposals. We have the Micah and Paul and Brett and Tiffany. I think Brett and Tiffany are going to go I think they're going to be the couple that comes out of this that's like super strong. And I have a weird feeling that Micah and Paul, because Micah had this great connection with Kwame, I think there's going to be some sort of regrets there, but I don't know. I just feel like you need to trust like a gut instinct, and they had such a, the breakup was so weird. The end of the breakup was so weird. I don't see her forgetting that so quickly. What about you?
I think Zach, Paul, and Micah and Irina are going to be revealed as monsters. And I agree with you that Brett and Tiffany are going to make it. Like, and I think when you come into this going, I'm part of this grand experiment, thank God, no looks. And it's like, well, that's not your issue. Like, you're seeing right away that Zach and Paul, like, you could see how they operate. You're just like, okay. And then the way Micah and Irina were kind of mean girling and laughing at people who are going through hard times on the female side of things, you're like, this is about, to me, they're there to win. And it's like, okay. Right. So if you're going to, so I need to win getting out of the pods to go to Mexico on the trip. You know, if that's your goal, then you're going to find a partner, and it's going to end in flames, and we're all going to watch and enjoy.
I know that's like the biggest thing is because you find out so much about just from the jump when the doors open, like, you know, when you walk into a date and you see the person for the first time, and the second you kind of not know from just like looks, but you can just tell, you're like, oh, okay, this feels kind of good. It feels right. If it feels wrong, nothing is worse than like being with somebody where it feels wrong. It's like a Zach and Rachel coming out of their fantasy suite date. It felt icky and uncomfortable. And that whole morning after, I was like, oh my God, that night must have been awful.
Right.
Like, and then, but then thinking about having to deal with it and be sleep in a bed with this person and be in Mexico and like have to show, I can't. That's so scary to me.
It's scary. The whole thing, that's the thing, is like, it's that's the grand, that's the part that this has on The Bachelor, is like, you know, we get done, they get engaged, they get to go off, you get to be done. Like this, it's like, no, now we're gonna watch you sleep uncomfortably next to each other.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. Like every. Oh, yeah. I don't know. This. It just feels like it's setting yourself up for a disaster.
So we'll play a couple games. Alarming or disarming? It's one thing that you saw that was it a red flag or not? Okay.
Yeah.
Zach at one point says to both of the women that he, or to one of the women that he is in the pods with, I could end up with either of you. Is that a red flag to you, hearing that from someone that you might get engaged to?
That's the thing about like The Bachelor and this, is that on The Bachelor, that seems more acceptable. Like to hear, like, I could see myself, I don't know why, but that it seems more okay.
Well, on The Bachelor,
sure.
And The Bachelor, it's said without needing to be said. Like, that's the whole premise of the show.
Yes.
I'm at the final two. That means I could see myself with either of you. When Zach says that to someone, that is setting himself up as above them. Mm-hmm. And it's a little bit like dance for me. Like,
yes.
You know, and someone who says that, like, saying that, thinking that, and saying that are two totally different things.
And it's back with the games.
Right. If someone was to say that to me, I'm like, oh, this person is fucking with me in a certain sense.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I think when he said that, I was like, oh, this guy's a piece of shit.
But again, it's another thing. I don't think he's used to having options.
Right.
He's not used to this. So he's like...
King.
Yeah, he has the Napoleon syndrome or whatever, where he's like, oh, yeah, I can choose. This is my choice. He forgets that they also have to choose him, but they have already shown that they have.
Right. Who do you have as your top person right now? I think we're on the same page.
Yeah, Brett. I think he is, I mean, Tiffany obviously already got him, but I think he's such a great catch. I also think, maybe we say couple. Like, I think Brett and Tiffany are the top spot.
Right. I agree with you. Brett, I mean, I haven't been moved to tears from a reality show since Extreme Makeover Home Edition with Ty Pennington yelling, "Move that bus."
Excuse me.
It has been a long time since a reality show has brought moisture to my eyes. And Brett telling his story and the way he told it, I was like, oh, my God, I got to call my brother and make sure he's okay. Like, it is.
Yeah.
That was a Brett was my star so far. Like, I think, you know, you're going to see a lot of memes of protect this man at all costs.
Oh, absolutely. Brett needs to be protected at all costs. And who did you have for the villain? I mean, villain of the week.
So we both kind of, you know, I'll say Paul, because I think Paul's an undercover villain. Yeah, I just didn't. Paul, to me, very much what you're saying, like, nerd who's getting a bunch of attention. You know, let's see how, you know, how the nerd handles power, you know. And this guy, it just feels like he said something at the end of episode 2 where it, huge red flag to me. At the end of episode 2, he says, "I never saw myself getting married. And here I am." And you go, wait a minute. You went on a show where the premise is you get married to someone that you meet in the pods. I think you have to. I don't think you can go on this show with, like, I don't know. Like, the way they present them in the beginning is like, I've tried everything. I'm sick of the games. I'm sick of. And when you're, I don't know, we'll see what happens, guy, in the world of the pods, you're actually the most dangerous, because there is someone like Chelsea. There is someone like Bliss. There is someone like, you know, Tiffany, who's like, I've tried it all. I figure this is kind of crazy, but I really want to be engaged. I really want love. And you're just like, yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I like science. This is a science experiment. So I think his apathy towards what this was, to me, is really off-putting and will be a thing where you're like, does this guy, is he a sociopath? You'll have, I think we're going to have
that. That's interesting. Yeah, because once you develop a certain level of connection with someone, you're so desperate to know what they look like that you'll just propose because you want to know. And that's how I feel like a lot of these things are. It's like Tiffany and Brett, they got engaged very quickly. Like, they were the first couple, like, right off the bat. It was like a few days and I'm like, yeah, we're doing this. But I think part of the speed of that is because they just want to know what the other person looks like, and going, the thought of connecting with someone to a certain level and then being like, yeah, I don't know if I'm ready to get married, but I still want to know what they look like. Like, that's, I don't know.
Right. It just, like, to be like, I'll do this marriage thing. Like,
yeah,
when
so
everyone else
about
is
it.
Talking about it, like, this is it. I found the
last
one.
Resort.
Like, right. This is, I don't know. It's just like, it was kind of fucked up. I was like, I don't like this guy.
That's interesting. I'm glad you went with Paul. That opened my eyes a bit. I said Zach. I think there's something just so off-putting about Zach, and
yeah,
gives very bad vibes. Very bad vibes.
I agree with you. I wrote a couple of would you rathers. You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. You get revealed the person, and you come in. You're revealed. We're engaged. He's not your type, or he's a bad kisser in that first reveal.
Oh.
What would you rather? And not your type doesn't mean they're bad looking. It's just not the person you would normally date, not the look. Or you get together, you embrace, they're your total look, but they're a bad kisser.
I would choose bad kisser. I feel like kissing can be adjusted.
Right. See, I'm the opposite. I'd rather not my type.
Oh.
Because I think kissing kind of tells you whether they're sexual or not.
Oh.
Like I'm, you know, if I saw a bad kisser, I'm like, oh, we got to start at the fucking beginning. You know, like, we, you know, like I'm not going to, not just
kissing. Kissing is the like, basics, like right. Basics.
Right. It's like, I don't think they're going to be like, you know, sucking on my ball later that night. Like, I think we're going to be, I have to assume if you're not a good kisser, this is the, you know, this house is built on a bad foundation.
Yeah, it really is like the baseline of like
sexuality.
Sexuality.
You know, so I guess I'm like, I would rather be with someone who's sexually ready than my type is my, I guess what I'm thinking. But I would, you know, but also,
as any man would say, I want to make sure the sex is good and I don't care who it's with.
Or just like awareness. I don't know. Like, to me, bad kissing is an unawareness. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But isn't there the thing where it's like, are they a bad kisser or are they a bad kisser with you?
Right, that's a good point too. That could be the case. We're two different kissing styles.
Yeah, but that also is like a thing. It's like, oh well, we don't mesh.
Right,
which is bad.
Would you rather, they react to getting dumped like Kwame, or like Amber? It's a thank you for taking my resume, or it's go fuck yourself.
I'm literally trying to think about, I think, awful. I think I would rather an Amber reaction.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I know. I think I'd rather an Amber reaction just because I want to feel like, yeah, I did that. Like, you know, not like that, but.
No, I want the Kwame. I want to go to my friends, be like, yeah, they're pretty chill. I guess, you know, just didn't work out. Like, I want to live in the delusion that we're, like, both, like, cool. Everyone's fine. I don't want to be the person that, like, ruined your life. I want to disappear into the mist. Just goodbye. And I was just a guy that you dated. You might. Who? Remember when you dated Jared? Oh, yeah. What's he up to? Like, I want to be disappearing. I don't want, fuck you know.
I want us to be out at a bar and you see me across the bar and you want to leave.
You're evil. Okay. Would you rather, last one. Okay. Right. You tell someone your deepest, darkest, everything, you open up and they have fallen asleep. Or they forget your birthday.
I think forgetting my birthday is fine.
Okay.
At this stage. Like.
Right.
Like, I think that's. Like, I don't even know when half of my friends' birthdays are unless it is in my phone or you're like, hey, my birthday is next week. We're doing something.
Right.
I don't remember. I don't know your birthday, Jared.
Unless there's a Facebook notification.
I don't know anyone's birthdays.
Yeah, I'm with you. There's one of my best friends. Every year, it's the day after his birthday. I do it every year, and I'm like, fuck. Like,
yes.
And then I call and sing happy birthday on their phone. And it's every year. And birthdays aren't important to me, so that's why I don't think of them for someone else. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think someone falling asleep on me is much worse than
that's
me.
Tough. Yeah, like it's like being left on read, essentially.
Right.
Like you like person. send like, you know, a nude or like a like a deep text and they fell asleep, right. And they text you and then we're like, sorry, fell asleep, and you're like, okay,
thanks,
I thought we were having a better conversation than that, but all right.
Right.
I don't know.
Well, that is episodes 1 and 2 of Love is Blind. We're going to be doing the whole season. We're going to do 3 through 5 on the next episode. And we hope everyone enjoyed, and let us know what you thought. Right, Kay?
Yeah, definitely. Let us know what you're thinking. If you have any like ideas for different things or couples that you want us to cover more about, let us know. Yeah, I'm really excited about this season. I like this show and I like how it's set up, especially because we are getting that what we wanted from The Bachelor. We want to see what happens after. We want to see them with their cell phones, living in real life. So this gives us that satisfaction that The Bachelor doesn't give us. So I'm excited to see what happens.
And I think as the season goes on, this organizes a bit for us from a recap.
Yeah, it gets better. It definitely gets better. I was like taking notes and I'm like, this person said this. And I'm like, man, who was that person? But then you don't know who's actually sticking around throughout the season and who is.
So we will be back with the next episode. As you binge, you know, this show, you'll be getting I think they're already out at this point, or they'll be out.
Yeah, they will be out. They will be out. So make sure you are following us at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. You can also follow me at K York City.
And I'm at Jared Free. The Bachelor Podcast is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales Pico, and Rebecca Sousmaket. Editing by Jorge Morales Pico. Social media by Amy Klackner. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. And be sure to follow at The Bachelor on Instagram and Bachelor Pod on Twitter. And send us your emails to bachelor@betches.com.
Betches.